Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd, wherever you may be. And however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, in for Colin Cowherd. Football season's here, kids. College football teams reporting. NFL teams. We got preseason games. That's right. We already had one preseason game. We'll have more preseason games to come. You know, that was Hall of Fame weekend. This becomes week one of the preseason. So, and if you talk to some of these people, like Washington taking on the Patriots, that is, it's the scrimmages leading up. That's where the real action is. Steelers, Eagles, these are both on Thursday. Titans, Falcons, Bills, Lions, Cowboys, Cardinals, those are all on Friday. Fins and Bears, Broncos and Vikings, Browns and Jags, Saints, man, everybody plays this weekend. And we got a Sunday night game, or Sunday game, Panthers and Colts. We don't know who the Colts quarterback will be. So, over the weekend, there's been a lot of things that took place. USA basketball, men's and women's, took home the gold medal. I love these questions. I get these all the time. You know, where you get, hey, you know, why don't you talk about the women's team winning their seventh straight gold medal? Because nobody, just not enough people care. Just don't. Dinah Taurasi's amazing. Sue Bird, incredible, right? Was it the fifth gold medal that they won? Incredible. I can't make people care about a story they don't care about. I don't talk about college football and some of the interesting things going on. Linda, it's not that people don't care about college football, but right now, niche stories, that these stories are just bigger. Like this one, because it does, the Josh Allen story will have an effect on the rest of the National Football League. Okay, so Josh Allen signs a new deal. There's a $43 million average on the new deal. It's a six-year extension worth a reported $258 million, $150 million guaranteed. This is, of course, all according to Adam Schefter. The deal tops out at $258, but it's $150 million in guarantee. It puts him above that of Pat Mahomes. And the average annual salary of $43 million puts him slightly behind Mahomes, whose average annual salary is at $45 million. Allen said, I think the way we structured the deal was obviously a chance for both sides to get a fair deal and feel like they won. To be here for eight more years allow us the kind of moves to keep some pieces around here. I'm not egotistical in how the money is put out or where it needs to be or how much it is. I want to win. Whatever it takes for us to win, I'm willing to do. Okay, so he was a runner-up for MVP. He threw for 4,544 yards last year, 37 touchdown passes. They went to the AFC Championship game. The biggest note is that he did something which we have long been told NFL quarterbacks will almost never do, which is become more accurate. 2019, he was a 58.8% passer. 2020, he was a 69.2% passer. His passer rating went from 85.3 to 107.2. That's a meteoric rise. That's an absolute change. But we should point out that if you look at the overall stats from his first 3 years and the fact that they signed him to a contract extension really a year before they needed to, there's some Jared Goff to it. Now, again, when I say Jared Goff and Josh Allen in the same sentence, Bills Mafia will lose their mind. They'll want to throw me through one of those tables that they jump on the tables and the tables automatically break away. That's what they want. Josh Allen is Jared Goff. How dare you? But hear me out on this. One, the Bills signed him to a contract before this season began, before his fourth season began, which is the same timing as Jared Goff being signed. It does not match up to what the Ravens are likely to do with Lamar, or what the Browns are going to do with Baker Mayfield. And the numbers, Goff and Allen, if you average them all together, win percentage, 63%. It's the same. Completion percentage, 62%. It's the same. Touchdown interception ratio. Now, Josh Allen has two more TDs, 67-65, but he also has five more interceptions, 31-26. They passed for about the same number of yards. Believe it or not, Jared Goff during his first 3 years, 7.7 yards per attempt as opposed to Josh Allen, 7.2 yards per attempt. And Jared Goff's passer rating overall after 3 years, 94.7. Josh Allen after 3 years, 90.4. Now, I'm not Nick Wright and going to read for you stats and make definable statements based solely upon stats. Okay, there's nuance to it. Josh Allen's a far better, bigger, stronger athlete. He runs the ball better. And he took over a franchise that wasn't as talent-laden as the LA Rams were. He just wasn't. And Josh Allen has been able to, a Bills franchise that had made the playoffs before he got there, continue to sustain success, which is really, really hard. And I don't believe there was ever a point in those first 3 years where Jared Goff was an MVP candidate, let alone a runner-up for MVP. So I'm not saying they're the same guy. But there are some similarities there statistically. There are some similarities there timeline-wise in terms of when they signed him. And so that should at least give you a little bit of caution. Like, boy, you better be really sure. Really, really sure. Now, the extension allows them, this thing doesn't go truly live against the books for a couple more years. And so it allows them the pliability of continuing to build a team around him. Put a tremendous defense around him. Get the right pieces. And they were able to hold on to their offensive coordinator. But the reality is that there was a time when Jared Goff was Josh Allen. Remember, Jared Goff's first year was atrocious. It was a train wreck. And then he got Sean McVay and like, okay, it's better. And then in year three, they went to a Super Bowl. And now he's a member of the Detroit Lions. That doesn't mean that I think Goff is Allen and Allen is Goff. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn. No, I'm not saying that with Goff and Allen. I'm just pointing out that there's a reason people wait. And look, you're two types of people in this world. Right? You're either the type of person who, hey man, I know I'm going on a trip. I'm going to book the trip now. I've been doing this for a couple weeks on my show. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. Thanks so much for listening. By the way, if you're a football guy or a comeback story guy, I implore you to download. I have a podcast which has been going on, but a new all ball pod. So my podcast is called All Ball. Okay? If you download it, you'll hear Maurice Claret Part 2. It's a three-part. Part one takes us through high school, his upbringing, college. Part two is he's sitting for a couple years, takes us through all that, trying to get in the NFL draft, all the things working against him, and what led to his downfall as an NFL player. Going to jail two times over, everything. You're just, and his personal rehabilitation and how it started and who he is now. It's amazing. It's called All Ball. It's available on the Herd Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app. Download it wherever you, iTunes, wherever you download. It's Maurice Claret. Types of people in this world, right? But look, there's two types of people in this world, right? I believe there's three types of people with injuries. Ryan Music knows, he's worked with me, he's producing this show, right? There's an injury occurs and you're like, I don't ever want to see it. Just don't even, I can't take it. I want to catalog it. So just show me the broken bone or show me the gruesome injury. Or there's, I'm type three, which is show it to me over and over again. I can't get enough of it. Well, in travel, I believe there's two types of people, right? There's the book way out in advance. Got to be 3 weeks or more in advance. These are the same type of people, by the way, that get to the airport 2 hours before they're going to fly. Or there's the last minute guy. And that's how you are with contracts. Sure, the Dallas Cowboys cost themselves a bunch of money by signing Dak Prescott to a 4-year completely guaranteed deal, and he'll be a free agent in 4 years. Now, we have to remember that Dak Prescott is different than Jared Goff, is different than Josh Allen, because they're first-round picks, so their first-round contract actually lasts a hell of a lot longer. And they're being much better compensated during the time in which they're waiting for their second contract. Allen was the 7th overall pick. Jared Goff was the 1st overall pick. Those guys had 4-year guaranteed contracts. Then you can franchise. Then you get the 5th year option, which is a spike in how much they make guaranteed. And then there's the franchise tags. Essentially, that first contract can be a 7-year deal with one franchise. That's not the way it works with a 4th round pick. But there's two types of guys, two types of people. Are you a, hey, I'm going to plan this thing months out in advance? Or are you going to wait to the very last moment, go and search deals, try and use your miles, and fly into wherever's close and ever's possible, fly by the seat of your pants? The 49ers are taking the Rams. The Rams did this with Todd Gurley. It didn't work. They did it with Jared Goff. It didn't work. The Eagles did this with Carson Wentz. It didn't work. You sign a guy to a big contract early, and the upside is he doesn't have to worry. The upside is you have cost certainty. The upside is you do send a message to the locker room, this is going to be our guy. The downside is you send a message to the locker room, this is going to be our guy, and maybe they don't buy into him. I don't think that's who Josh Allen is. I do believe that Josh Allen has worked to improve himself, and he is the quarterback of the now, the quarterback of the future, and the Bills have finally found their guy, and that's why they've gotten cost and quarterback certainty for the next decade, essentially. But there is a little buyer beware. You didn't have to book it now. You could have waited to the last second, and yeah, you might pay $100 more. Then when you land, the second year, they're like, this is not fun. I got to get out of here. Did the Bills act... Did they expedite this process too expeditiously? We'll ask John Middlecoff. Plus, we'll get his sense of the Hall of Fame. How can they fix it? We want to keep the stories short and tight, but 6 minutes of Peyton Manning left us wanting, yearning for more. Oh, yeah, and should we be concerned at all that Dak Prescott can't really throw a football during padded practices right now?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. John Middlecoff will join us momentarily. Get the former NFL scout's opinion on, did we learn anything from our first preseason game? What do we make of Dak Prescott's shoulder giving him issues? And what's the real story with San Francisco? Who are they actually going to start? I can't help but mention how impressed I was with USA basketball. And I think what happens is if you watched the friendly games in Vegas, right? If you watched it in Vegas, you said, boy, they don't look very good. They don't look very connected. We talk about connected teams. They just don't look very connected. They were all trying to kind of do their own thing. They struggled to guard. And to put it all together, and look, they were down 15 points in the first half to Australia, come back and win that game by 19. And then they really led tip to finish against France. They made it closer than they should have, kind of fell asleep a little bit at the wheel, got to 5 points, Drew Holiday with a bizarre turnover. But I really felt like this version of USA basketball is not going to go down as the greatest ever. It's not the dream team. It's not the redeem team. He doesn't have some catchy name. But considering where they were, considering the rest of the world has gotten better, the challenges of having three players kind of fly over the day they play France, right? They really only had 10 guys, which you might say that's plenty. That probably helped them, right? Didn't have to play JaVale McGee, didn't have to play Keldon Johnson. And just one superstar. But, you know, some of their other stars, I mean, Damian Lillard struggled. And credit Greg Popovich, because many people, myself included, would have bailed a little bit on Damian Lillard and not started him. Didn't really guard, couldn't find his offense, wasn't making people better. But, you know, in the fourth quarter of the gold medal game, felt like Kevin Durant was out and he tired a little bit. And Lillard hit some really, really big shots. Part of that is your coach sticking with you. But Lillard wasn't great. They still found a way to win the gold medal. As a team, a collective group, incredibly impressed. Impressed. No negatives as a team. And I thought Kevin Durant elevated himself and showed just he is a notch above all those other dudes. Navien, regardless of, for endless hot water, choose Navien. Get all the hot water you need for as long as you need it right now. Save hundreds on a new Navien tankless water heater with local rebates. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com. John Middlecoff joins us. And Middlecoff, of course, the former NFL scout, former assistant in college. He's got the Three and Out podcast. I want to get to the Hall of Fame game and a sweaty Peyton Manning afterwards hanging out with Tom Brady, you know, two goats in one picture. But you love hoops. What's your takeaway from the gold medal winning performance by Team USA?
Well, I mean, they just had the best player in the tournament in Kevin Durant. And wouldn't you say in the history of basketball, when you have the best player, you typically have a chance to win. You know, Damian Lillard, as someone who's watched him really closely over the years going to war against the Warriors, is his game really that suited for international basketball?
No.
You know, I mean, so it's just, and he clearly is the second best player on the team. So it just throws off kind of the hierarchy of the younger guys. But, I mean, they just had KD, and KD went healthy. The last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years is just an unstoppable force. So, and his teammates are like better than Luka's, right? And even these Australia or France, like they're just not close to as talented. If our guys, and the other thing is, listen, we can nitpick Draymond Green, and I know he gets, you know, a lot of heat. But for those of us that live in Northern California, have watched basically every game he's ever played that has mattered. He has to be one of the most unique players in the history of basketball, because when he plays with good players, he becomes an elite player. Can he do it on his own? Of course not. But he's got to be up there with one of the greatest role players in the history of the sport.
No question. As long as you like, and we don't have to get into basketball X and O's, but the ability for him to can switch every screen when Draymond's in the game. They couldn't do it when Bam Adebayo is in the game. By the way, I had my greatest line ever on Twitter. Did you see my Bam line? You'd love this one.
I did not.
Bam doesn't have to be vaccinated. He can't catch anything anyway, right? Like that's. I don't know what happened to his hands when he got to Japan, but he couldn't catch a cold the dead of winter. It was really he did not have a great tournament.
I just don't think Draymond gets enough respect for how skilled he is as a player.
I would argue with you that. That's kind of what international basketball, like that's what that tournament is more about, right? It is more about skill than pure athleticism. It's one of the things I think we struggle with, skill and toughness more than pure athleticism, based upon how the game is officiated and based upon some of the rules. And we had to match some of that. And I think Draymond helps it. But I also think that we undervalue some international players because they have a little bit of what Draymond has, and they don't look like a KD. They're not seven footers that can hit, you know, hesitation pull up jump shots in your eye. So I agree with you, but I also think that's a little bit more what that tournament is kind of about. All right, let's get to the Hall of Fame. How do we do this? Like, I know you want to tighten up the speeches, but who's rapping Peyton Manning after 6 minutes? I feel like that only displays the difference in the real Hall of Famers and the guys that are in the Hall of Fame. Right? Like, I'm not trying to disparage Isaac Bruce. He should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago based upon his numbers and how good he was. But like, Peyton Manning's one of the five best throwers of the football, quarterbacks to command a football team ever. I want to hear him longer. How do you fix it, the disparity in the speeches that are needed, even though you can't really tell a guy, hey, one guy you can go 30, the other guy you can go 5?
That is a great question. I mean, you're right. I'm watching last night thinking, the moment this guy walks into that room, and they always talk about how the heads talk, you know, at night, he's immediately one of the best players in that room. You know, probably a top 8-10 player in the history of the Hall of Fame. Now, you could kind of tell, I didn't have a stopwatch next to me. You know, Charles Woodson went a little longer. Peyton could have gone for 15 minutes. No one was going to say anything. I actually think it's smart to tell the guys, because we don't want to get into a situation where the guy is talking for 30 minutes. But just, it's a little loose. Right, there's not going to be the horn that goes off, you know, like the Oscars, I guess, we couldn't see on TV, but they're like waving things and, you know, blinking the lights. Like, just tell people 8 to 10 minutes and then give a little leeway of a guy like Peyton to go 15 if he wanted. Because Peyton, if he would have gone for 20 minutes, no one would have budged.
He was awesome. It is interesting that, last night's maybe the first time that people have started to come back around. When he retired and he was playing, Peyton was, in the conversation, the best quarterback ever. Now, that was before Brady had this late career resurgence. And now, all of a sudden, now we're like, oh, yeah, Peyton was arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. What's reasonable? I feel like Favre right now is completely out of the discussion, and people forget Favre. It was a different time, a different era, and so his interceptions were viewed differently. Where are we on the Peyton and Favre in the all-time great quarterback discussion?
Yeah, to me, Rodgers is better than Favre. I think that's something that feels like it's been passed the last 4 or 5 years. Because when Favre retired, I think he was viewed as probably like a fringe top 5, 6 type guy. And then over that period of time, right, in the 2010s, Rodgers took off like a rocket ship. And Peyton really validated his career in Denver, even though he didn't necessarily need to. But just getting that second Super Bowl ring, even though he was a shell of himself at the time, no one's going to remember looking back in 20 years. He's a 2 Super Bowl type quarterback, right? Honestly, he probably should have 3 or 4. But he feels right having 2. I would put Peyton ahead of him. I would definitely put Rodgers ahead of him. I've always said this. I think Peyton and Tom are the Magic and Bird of their sport. Now, it's different because Tom has also morphed into Michael. So it's like their combination. Peyton's power on and off the field is hard to quantify to me, right? Because he was such an elite player. He's a top 5 quarterback probably ever. But his what he means to the game of football, his popularity, his celebrity status, what he just represents for football is so big. And that's why, like, it's not even a question Tom was going to be there. They're, like, intertwined. Even as Tom is separated and just keeps winning these Super Bowls, without Peyton, I think it's fair to say, like, they probably – I just don't think the sport becomes quite as big. You know, it's perfect timing.
I thought, look, you did the Bird Magic thing. You're right. You're right. And it's always interesting to me on how when you start doing the basketball lists, how people, you know, they throw Kobe in there. Like, I loved Kobe and I got to know him after his career was over, late in his career and after his career was over, and he became much more interesting. There's Kobe is not even in the discussion with the Magic and Bird in terms of what they did for the league and how much they ran the league. Kobe's a great player, and he resonates much more so with this generation of NBA player. But everybody wanted to be Jordan. And before that, it was Magic and Bird saved the league. And the Magic and Bird parallel works perfectly. Because here's the other thing people don't realize, right? It's not all Peyton and Tom Brady, but the NFL in the mid-90s wasn't that popular. Right? Like, there's a reason.
Wasn't the NBA bigger? Wasn't Michael Jordan bigger than the NFL?
Yes! I mean, yes! Yeah. Right. Like, there's a reason that in the mid-90s, L.A. lost 2 teams, not 1. They lost 2 teams. And go back and look at Sports Illustrated's covers of, like, what's wrong with the NFL in terms of the ratings and all this other stuff. And I do think that they're not the only reason, but they're and I would put Favre in there. But
yeah,
Favre,
he played a role.
Yeah, because who doesn't? Everybody love Favre. Right? Like, the truth is everybody loved. Favre was your guy, like, man, I'd love to crush a beer and talk football with that guy. And then Peyton has this incredible likability and yet this corporate nature. And then Tom Brady is kind of he only now has become likable, right? Tom Brady was exceptionally unlikable up until like 3 years ago. Until he left the Patriots, he was seen as arrogant, aloof, and disconnected from the rest of football America.
And it's weird. Tom portrays, and you saw last night when they started booing him, he's kind of got the chip on his shoulder still to this day with all the success. Peyton, I think, had that, having known people that were around him in Indy and then in Denver. Like, Peyton is nuts. The people, like, his work ethic, what he demanded. Like, people, you know, you hear all these stories, people walk on eggshells around Belichick. Kind of like that with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
But when the camera's on and we see him publicly, if you don't know him personally, you're like, oh my God, greatest guy ever. You know, yes. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm just saying he is really intense like Tom, but he does not portray that because he's kind of got this jokester thing going. The whole Manning crew kind of does. And he's just a unique athlete. He's a unique just American character in the history of our lives.
John Middlecoff joining us, 3 and Out the podcast. You should download it. It is outstanding. Okay, let's get to the Josh Allen contract. The stats are actually eerily similar through 3 years to Jared Goff. They signed him to a long-term extension in the same time span in which they signed Jared Goff. I think, I believe he's better than Goff. He's not Goff. But is there any buyer beware for the Buffalo Bills giving a guy this much for this long, this early in his career?
You know, I hadn't thought about it. I was in the car about 15 minutes and heard you bring that up. I would say there are a couple differences. Physically, he's in a completely different universe. And I think what we've seen the last couple of years is Jared Goff. Cousins falls into this, and I would say Cousins has become a better player than Goff, obviously. But they can't make plays when they're not there because they're athletically are just limited. And Josh has nothing in common with those guys that way. Now, I think he's really worked on his accuracy. Now, we'll see last year if that was more of a benefit. You know, empty stadiums, it was just different. You know, so they are betting on things that are unknown. But someone in the league texted me this, that like if he just maintains as just being like a fringe Pro Bowl guy, the key to that contract was they have him under contract for a long time. That 6-year deal, it was basically an 8-year deal, right? Mm-hmm. So they control him for a long time. Now, if it goes Jared Goff, it's a disaster. But Sean McDermott, he puts a huge value, character, work ethic. He's just a kind of an old school tight ass, and he clearly really believes in the guy. And at his core, he's a defensive guy, right? So he's not some offensive guru. So for him to really, and it's taken him 3 years. I remember talking to him at the combine. They really believed that, and at the time, the Diggs trade hadn't happened yet, but they could surround him with the right players. They knew how to kind of get his strengths. And they saw it last year. Now, when you guarantee that type of money, you know, hell, I mean, it was a risk with Mahomes. You're really betting to me, and we talk a lot about this with Peyton and Brady, it's like they got rich so early and they worked harder, you know. So as long as, you know, so I think something with Goff is like, was he the biggest grinder? You know, was he truly
no,
the
no,
biggest
no.
grinder?
Listen. What the Rams have told me was like, look, you can't. It's one thing to not be a great worker. It's another thing to not be a great worker and be a quarterback. And then it's a whole other thing when you're Sean McVay's quarterback, right? Like Sean McVay has that John Gruden, you know, up at crack of dawn, last one out of the building. Yeah. And then when you look around and your quarterback isn't the same level of fanatic, you just don't vibe it. And he didn't draft him. He was already there, right? He wouldn't let it loose. So it's all right. Well, enough with the Goff thing. Let's get to a couple other. I was at Chargers camp, and when I tell you that they're all converts to the church of Justin Herbert, I'm underselling it, right? Yeah. Now, and I was there for a day, and I'm going to go out there a day this week as well. And there are just some throws that he makes that I can't. How did so many people miss? Because even when he was selected, after Tua went, there were questions about the Justin Herbert selection. I even think the Chargers, if Tua was on the board, would have taken Tua instead of Herbert. How did they all miss?
I think there's an element in the scouting process when the season ends, the paralysis by analysis, and the nitpicking of quarterbacks that sometimes personality stuff can throw guys off. And I think that hurt Justin. Even though I've seen some clips on social media, he seems like he's very comfortable now in his like own skin around the guys. And clearly, if you talk to people at Oregon, they'd never had that. They always thought, like, I think you guys are too worried that he's not some super loud rah-rah guy. Like, he's definitely loud enough. The other thing to me that hurt him, because, listen, we live out here in the West. We end up watching a lot of Pac-12. It didn't look like, you know, he looks way better now than he did at Oregon. Yeah. But I think when you dive back in, in the history of my like adult life, Oregon's always had really NFL running backs, NFL tight ends, and good wide receivers. He played in this weird era where they didn't have any of those. He didn't play with NFL running backs. He did not play with an NFL tight end. Like, he was not playing with NFL skill guys, which Oregon, I mean, they have now. They're going to continue to have. They had with Chip. They had with Bilotti. And he just had this weird era where he wasn't playing. So you'd watch him. You're like, why is he missing these wide receivers? Turns out they weren't open. Turns out they weren't any good. You know, and now you watch him with Keenan Allen when you're out there, like, he's on equal footing. Like, he's with his equals, Mike Williams, these guys. And back to Josh Allen a little bit, when you are physically that elite, yeah, if you can put it together, there is no stopping you at the highest level. In basketball, in baseball, in football, like, his physical attributes
it's unbelievable.
Are better than 99% of every. How big is he, Doug? Like, you stood next to him, 6'5" and a half. He's
six, huge. 6'6". Which I'll tell you what's interesting is I encourage, like, I never went to, people ask me all the time, like, you know, the Rams trained out here when I was a kid. I never went, but I've been to Rams camp and been to Chargers camp and been to Cowboys camp. What is crazy, what people should do is go on a day when they don't, when they just have shells on or whatever, and you can see there's a difference in the stars and everybody else, right? Like, there's a tangible, their legs, their body, they look different than everybody else. It's hard. Like, Mike Williams looks different, and Keenan Allen looked different than all the other wide receivers. Justin Herbert looks different. Obviously, like, Chase Daniels, his backup, he looks like his little big brother, right? I mean, I mean, they're like that movie. Remember that movie Twins with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, right? That's who they are. But there's Derwin James, he looks different than all the defensive backs. Want to ask you about the Niners. They're telling everybody Garoppolo's playing unbelievable. Are they trying to move him, or is he really playing unbelievable?
Yeah, I mean, the couple practices I was at, and I'm going to go this week too, I mean, he looks fine. He looks like Jimmy Garoppolo. The difference is, like, you know now, like, you go see Matt Stafford throw or Justin Herbert throw, you're like, wow, right? And you just see Trey Lance let it rip. It's just on a completely different level. His physical attributes are just so far superior to Jimmy. Now, Jimmy is not, you know, on the quarterback end. He's, I guess there are shorter quarterbacks in the league now, but, you know, 6'1 and a half, 6'2, kind of that range has always been shorter for quarterbacks. You know, he's that. He's not a great athlete for NFL standards. He doesn't have a great arm. He's not going to look great in practice, right? He's going to really have to hang his hat on just making plays in the game, because Trey Lance in practice is going to do things that he can't do. One, they just run running plays for him, right? Like the zone read, he just takes off and it looks sweet. And he's not like Lamar where he's running 4.3. He's probably like a 4.58 guy. I mean, he's fast, but he's not going to bust 90-yard runs. But he's got wiggle. So he can, like, make guys miss. And then when he just lets it rip, I mean, it just, he's got a stronger arm. Now, I always say this about young quarterbacks, and I'm guilty, because it's hard. You go to these practices. Like, when you watch Matt Stafford let it rip, like, you've seen him do that in games, right? You've seen Herbert and him get hit. Like, how's it going to look when Trey Lance get hit? I'm not saying I don't expect him to hop up, but you just never truly know. They come to practice against the Chargers. So next week, if I'm Kyle, I'm sure him and Brandon Staley, they'll tell each other what they want to see, right? If I'm Kyle, send Derwin James on blitzes. I just want to see how he reacts. You can kind of manipulate the practice a little bit.
Yeah.
And I bet that's what both those two teams will do. That's going to be explosive practices.
Oh, so many dudes. Both teams have just dudes. Last thing, Dwayne Brown, kind of a hold in, but he's 36 years old, last year of his deal. What do you do if you're Seattle?
Well, they're kind of in a pinch. They don't have a choice. So, I can't give him like a 4-year deal, but can you give him like some 2-year fully guaranteed, you know, $40 million or something? It's a complicated situation, but you knew going in that this was possible, right? So they have some of these hold-ins with their different players. Like, this is on them. Like, they knew the contract statuses. Like, you have to figure this stuff out. But also, when your quarterback makes, you know, $35 million, it makes it a little more complicated.
So what do? You extend him and kick it down the road? I'm like, but like, how long do you want to extend him when he's 36 years old?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, would he sign if I fully guarantee this year and next year and basically give him, like, you know, 40, like 20 a year, you know, whatever, a number where he feels he should fall in the hierarchy, but I'm not giving him – we're not paying till 38, 39, so yeah. Maybe you're just at an impasse. But if you need him to play this year. Like, you can't function without him. Correct. I saw someone tweeted the other day, they're on, like, their sixth left tackle. Everyone's hurt. You know, the season's not that far away.
Awesome. Hey, listen, great stuff. Look forward to the next pod. Enjoy practice this week. We'll talk to you soon.
You too. See ya.
That's John Middlecoff, 3 and Outs Podcast. Quickly, Ryan, music with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Keep the NFL discussion rolling here, Doug. You mentioned this earlier in the show. You talked to Jason Lockenfora about it. Deshaun Watson returned to the Texans today. He was there for the beginning of training camp, but was doing some rehab on a calf and ankle injuries. Today, he did some very light work in practice early on, then went to the locker room, took off his helmet, and watched the remainder of practice. Longtime Houston Chronicle NFL reporter John McClain tweeted out today, Deshaun Watson will never play another down for the Texans. Whereas NFL insider for Yahoo Sports, Charles Robinson, tweeted out, there could be some truth to what John McClain is saying, but the Texans haven't folded up shop at making another run at Watson. They're going to let it play out with the hold-in, see if there might be an Aaron Rodgers-type solution. It may not be likely, but there will be an attempt. So, the Texans back at square one with Deshaun Watson. One step forward, two steps back, it seems like.
I do think that, like, I mean, part of the hypocrisy of Deshaun Watson is like, look, you wanted the culture change. They changed, like, everything within the team, and you got to at least let it play out a little bit. So maybe that's the idea. It's like, look, we told you it's going to be different. You're around practice. You see how different we are. Why don't you give it a chance? So maybe that's their last play because they know they're not going to get proper value in return for a trade, whether it's now or hopefully after these lawsuits. I don't know what happens with them, but there's no way they're going to get the proper value for his level of talent.
We'll wrap it up with this, Doug. Miami Dolphins and their quarterback Tua Tagovailoa had a very up and down rookie season despite the overall success in terms of win-loss record last year. Regarding some of the criticisms that he had about his rookie debut last year, Tua told NFL media, I've learned a lot. To me, there's talent and then there's experience. No matter how much talent you have, I don't think that ever overrides experience. For me, it's a lot of learning. I learned a lot last year and continue to learn a lot. So a lot of learning for Tua.
Just give you the learning. Yeah. I'm inexperienced.
That's right.
Okay, now you're experienced. Look, being a second, there's a lot of pressure on him to perform. The Deshaun Watson rumors wouldn't be out there unless everyone was disappointed. There just weren't the wow plays. So we'll see. Maybe it was the offense. Maybe it was that he didn't have anybody to throw to. Maybe it's that he's coming off of hip surgery. Or maybe he wasn't as good as people thought. But remember, everyone had him rated above Justin Herbert. It was just concerns about his body that really held them back from going all in. And that's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I'll tell you what I have in common with Tom Brady. Next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for Best for Last.
Okay, so the best for last that we got for you is Friday. I became kind of like Tom Brady. Well, I guess Tom Brady back when he tore his ACL, but he tore up his knee. Of course, he had MCL replacement surgery this past offseason. I had ACL surgery on Friday. There's lots of stuff. I knew there was a choice. I didn't know there was this many choices in what you could use. Like, you can use cadaver, which is dead body, right? You can use a dead body, anything you want. Hamstring, quad tendon, ACL, whatever. I got spooked because people said sometimes cadavers fail. So I was like, yeah, or they don't vibe with your body. And then you could do your own patella tendon, which is your own knee, or your own quad tendon. I did my own hamstring. Did you know you had this many options? It's like, man, it's like you get to the front of the Chipotle line and they're like, you're like, oh man, there's just too many things to pick. Too many things to pick. I need somebody to pick for me. But this is day. I never know. This is a lot like, I guess yesterday was day three, but I had it done on Friday. So is that day one or is that day zero? And then Saturday, Sunday, is this day three or is yesterday? Music, help me out. Is this, because I never, this is like, and you're not old enough to remember this. You used to ask people for directions back before you could put it in your phone.
Yeah.
You go like, hey, and they go like, you know, you go six lights up and you take a right. Do I count the first light? Do I count the first day in my days?
Yes. Okay, I did. Well, yeah, I would imagine so. How long was the surgery?
I don't know. I was asleep. I think 2.5 hours.
Yeah, so you count that as day one. If it was like an all day event to where you go into surgery and it's basically nighttime by the time you're done, maybe that's not a full day. But I'm guessing you got this done in the afternoon or morning.
Yeah, it was in afternoon.
Yeah. So you're basically still living out that day. So I'd count that as the first day.
Okay.
And so do you have to go all the way under or do you have a choice in that?
Yeah, no, I was under.
Okay.
But I was tired anyway. I don't know why. Like I was the emotions of it a little bit, you know, uh-huh. I was like a little. So I was like watching rhythmic gymnastics. And I remember the anesthesiologist coming and talking to me. I don't remember anything after that. I don't remember being wheeled in. I don't like, everybody's like, well, I remember like you're talking to me and that felt, I don't remember anything.
So then when do you come out of it? What's that like at that point?
Well, where I came out of it. I remember where I came out of it back in the same place that I was when I went, you know, like the recovery area is the same as when you first, your pre-op.
Okay.
But I don't remember much of anything. Like conversations, it's literally a blank spot in my brain. Like there's 4 or 5 hours there where I have no idea what happened. So people are like, how'd it go? Everybody's like, how'd it go? I don't know. I was asleep. I mean,
right.
The doctor says it went really well, but what's he going to say? Oh man, I butchered that one.
So in terms of the choice that you made to do hamstring, yes. Do they walk you through like, well, if you choose the hamstring, it may make your hamstring feel like this or your quad feel differently? Or how did you arrive at choosing the hamstring?
Good question. So when they did the MRI, he looked at my hamstrings. He was like, your hamstrings are really strong and I really want to use your hamstring. I said, well, here's the thing. The only part I've never really been hurt until this. The only thing I've ever really hurt is pulling my hamstring. He's like, you know what? Honestly, this will help that. I can use the one that's pulling. I was like, well, won't that potentially like rip in my knee? Like, no, that's not how it works. So it's a little bit more painful in these first couple of days because you don't just have pain in the front, you have pain in the back with the hamstring, and they couldn't run a blocker into the back. So I did feel the hamstring the first couple of days. But it's, I think, a little bit easier to rehab as opposed to when you do the patella tendon, which is your own knee. Now you have to rehab that part of your knee as well as the ACL and then everything around it.
So
I don't know. Basically, he said, this is what I would do. My doctor is a former basketball player, played at Santa Clara. I played with him when I was a little kid. He was like a god. He played in modern day. His guy named Andy Carrick. And as a basketball player, and he's currently a surfer, he's like, this is what I would do. So I was like, well, that's what I'm going to do. You know, like it's the whole idea of he knows a lot more than me, so I'm gonna take his advice. I mean, that's pretty much it. I don't know what Tom Brady used. I wish I could get whatever Tom Brady's using to make his face look younger. That's the kind of stuff I really want if I go under next time. All right, Colin's back tomorrow. Don't worry, you can send your hater tweets all you want. Make sure you download the All Ball podcast. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.